Welcome to Finding God's Grace with Catholic storyteller, author, and Hall of Fame broadcaster Tony Agnese. Join Tony and his guests as they share experiences of God's extraordinary grace in their lives. Now, here's your host, Tony Agnese.
Hi, this is Tony Agnese, and welcome to this edition of Finding God's Grace. We've got two great interviews for you today. We're starting off with Gil Michelini. Gil is the author of the book, Daddy, Come and Get Me. And we'll be talking with Gil about foreign adoptions, and we'll give you his experiences, his family's experience, and the experience of the adoptive mother in our first interview. In the second half of the show, we'll be talking with Catholic author Jean Hyman. Jean is the author of the book Seven Saints for Seven Virtues, as she pairs up seven great virtues with seven saints who really, really lived those virtues. Jean Hyman will be our guest in the second half of the show. Don't forget, you can find all of the information for today's show and all of our shows at findinggodsgrace.com. If you click on the radio button, and it will take you to all of the guests, their links, how to get to them, the authors of their books, and so forth. And we'll have archived programs for you as well, so that if you miss a part of a show or want to re-listen to it, you'll have the opportunity to listen again. Gil Michelini and Jean Hyman are guests on this edition of Finding God's Grace. Hi, this is Tony Agnese. The program is Finding God's Grace, and my guest on this episode is Gil Michelini. Gil is a corporate trainer by trade, and he is the husband of 25 years and the father of four daughters. And we're going to talk to Gil a little bit about his faith journey, but more importantly, about international adoption. And Gil is the author of a book, international bestseller, Daddy, Come and Get Me, and it's a dad's adventure through a Guatemalan adoption with his fourth daughter, Gemma. And Gil, welcome to the show. Great to have you here.
Thank you, Tony. It's an honor.
I have. We were talking just briefly. Gil and I have been kind of online friends for a long time, and this is really a joy for me to be able to talk with you and get to know you a little bit better. Gil, let's talk about your own faith journey. It started out. You were not Catholic when you growing up. Tell me a little bit about how your faith grew and in what way, and how that led you to doing the ministerial type work that you do now.
Mm-hmm. I want to encourage first your listeners. It was my lovely wife who encouraged me to consider Catholicism. And you never know when you're going to be that light to guide someone. My wife and I, we met originally at Ball State University as freshmen, and then dated on and off throughout our entire time. And while I was trying to be the good little Protestant and harass this young Catholic lady as much as I could, I was really testing her to see how devoted she was to her faith. And it was her example and the example of her family that really helped me consider Catholicism and going through the RCIA program. Came into the church in 1990. We were living in Brookfield, Wisconsin at the time.
Now, the RCIA program is something that I know a great number of people who have gone through the program at the encouragement of a spouse, and obviously that was how you came back in through came in through RCIA.
Well, a little bit different is she didn't necessarily want me to be Catholic. She said, you know, you have to be Catholic if you want to marry me. It was she wanted me to be committed to something, mm-hmm. whether it was to continue to be a good Lutheran or Methodist, and I was kind of bouncing between the two traditions at the time. But I really found that, for me, the best way I could express a relationship with God was within the Catholic Church. So Fran never pushed me to go into RCIA, but I definitely went into it. I wouldn't have without her, but I went into it so I could learn more. And she sat along with me, and as I hear the story so many times, as a cradle Catholic, she learned about as much as I did going through the program.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a wonderful time for both of us to grow in our faith.
Now, obviously, since then, you've gotten on fire with the faith. What was the thing that just kept your thirst to know more and learn more, and then to begin to share it with others? How did that come about?
When we moved to Fort Wayne, Indiana, which is where we got married, we were working for a Pentecostal television station, and they kind of joked with us, you're the token Catholics. But it was really there where we discovered the Holy Spirit. A lot of times Catholics will say, yeah, I know Jesus, I hear about God during Mass all the time, but I don't really know the Spirit. And for me, in going through the RCIA program, while also working with my Pentecostal brothers and sisters, that really got me on fire with the Holy Spirit and just the excitement of the faith. I saw that in the Pentecostals that sometimes we didn't experience as much in the parishes.
Mm-hmm.
Then we were fortunate enough, or maybe guided by the Spirit, we met an ecumenical community that really came out of the charismatic movement, I think is what they called it, right after Vatican II.
Sure.
It started in Notre Dame and then spread throughout the country. And there was a group in Wisconsin, and then there was a group in Muncie, Indiana, where we ended up. And
mm-hmm.
Hearing the stories of the saints and how they were guided by the Spirit, I think is what really excited both Fran and I to be excited about our faith, to make it important for our daughters growing up, and to keep us focused on what we were supposed to do and what our mission is in life.
So you've got a pretty good situation going, you and Fran, and you've got three daughters and
four daughters.
I mean, what would cause you to want to adopt, especially an international adoption? What got you to that point?
Tony, I think I was in seventh grade, and I had this vision of adopting.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where that came from. I didn't know anyone growing up who had been adopted. But I knew it was something that I always wanted to do, and I had this vision of adopting from Italy, Michelini being an Italian name from the Tuscany province. And I started looking into adoption. Boy, this will be great. This will be fun. We'll go over to Italy. I'll adopt my little son, and this will be a just wonderful. Life will be perfect. And then my lovely bride, we had not yet had our first daughter at the time. She said, I'm not interested. I don't want to ever hear you talk about adoption again. And, oh, my goodness, you know, what's going on here? And then we had the three biological daughters, and I always had this vision that we were going to have four. And it got pretty obvious that we were not going to have a fourth daughter biologically, so I did what she told me not to. I brought up adoption again, and realizing now that we couldn't adopt from Italy because their birth rate is very low, so they don't adopt out. But at the time was considering China because that's where everybody else was doing their adoptions from.
Mm-hmm.
And never really thought about domestic adoption. It wasn't that domestic adoption was bad for me or I'd heard horror stories or anything. It was just something I just never considered. I'd always envisioned adopting outside of the United States.
Mm-hmm. You talk a little bit in some of your writings about we as Catholics and our obligation to care for orphans. Did that mm-hmm. play on this as well?
Absolutely. We were in the summer of 2000. We went to Franciscan University at Steubenville, Ohio. We were at a retreat there, and Fran and I were struggling because I was a little obnoxious at the time. I was kind of pushing her, we need to do this adoption. I think this is important. And she was not as excited about it. During one of the sessions or after one of the sessions, she had some opportunity to be alone with herself, and she was writing in her journal, and she wrote down the verse out of James, which says that the call religion that is, my Bible in front of me, the religion that is perfect is one that cares for orphans and widows in their distress. And that it, because she felt that God had put that verse on her heart, that it was God confirming to her that we were being called to adopt.
Mm-hmm. Now, the process is what you discuss quite a bit in your book, Daddy, Come and Get Me.
Mm-hmm.
How long did that process take?
It took 20 months.
20 months.
From the time we officially started until we met Gemma in a hotel or motel, or yeah, hotel in Guatemala City.
Now, was it a difficult process or just a complicated process or a bit of both?
It's a bit of both, Tony. It's, you can imagine the bureaucracy of one government. We have the bureaucracy of two governments that you're mm-hmm. working with. And Guatemala had come out of 30 years of civil war in 1996. So when we started in 2000, they were just 4 years removed from that war. So there's still quite a bit of strife in how they were supposed to be as government and how they were working with each other. So part of the reason that it took so long was they kept changing their policies in the way that they were doing things, which was very frustrating. And then our friends who were adopting from China, and this is one benefit of a big bureaucracy of a communist government, if they told you it would take 13 months and 2 weeks, in exactly 13 months and 2 weeks, you were in China picking up your child. Where in Guatemala, one of the chapters I have is, mañana does not always mean tomorrow. And several people have adopted from Guatemala. They enjoy that title because that's absolutely true. You just don't know when things are going to happen.
19 months, 20 months, those are long periods of times. And you know, you consider a normal pregnancy to be 9 months. Was there a time a year so into the adoption process that you began to question whether or not it was worth it or whether or not you should continue?
Yes, there was. We were just a few months into the process, and I got laid off. And we thought, everyone told us, boy, this is a sign from God. You need to stop. I didn't want to at the time. I felt real strongly we need to go on. And then there were several points, and I talk about these in the book, where I just got afraid. And it was a hard process for me because, you know, here I'm the man of the family. I'm supposed to have all the answers. And I got absolutely terrified of what was happening. My relationship with my wife was a little strained at that point. I didn't like that. And I thought I should quit. But it was the dream, which is where the title from the book comes from, that really kept me going. And in that dream, I'm in a mountain in a tropical setting. And from the top of the mountain, I hear a little girl yelling, "Daddy, come and get me." And that's what kept me going. And knowing that it was a difficult climb, because in the dream, there's no path to the mountains. It's just the dense forest, the jungle. And I have to get my way through there to get up and get her.
The book is Daddy, Come and Get Me. My guest is Gil Michelini, and we're discussing the book. It's available at Amazon.com, and we'll give you a little more information on the book as we go along. There's basically, Gil, two stories to be told, and I know you deal with this. Well, the first story is the story of you and Fran and your three daughters and adopting a new member of the family and so forth. And then there's the story from Guatemala, from the birth mother and Gemma prior to the adoption. Can we take a little time and kind of develop each of those stories?
Let me start first with Dolores' story, which is Gemma's birth mother.
Okay.
That came about, I had, at the end of the adoption process, they gave us in Guatemala City a manila folder about 3/4 inch thick, and it was filled with all of the official adoption documents. Most of them were in Spanish, and some of them had translations attached to them. And as I read through those documents, I get a story of what was going on while we were experiencing the adoption process here in the United States, what was happening in Guatemala. When I initially started the book, I didn't know exactly what to do with those. And one of the first drafts, there's just a chapter that tells that story from document to document. But fortunately, it kind of developed that would be a separate story. So it's embellished a little bit because I have to make some guesses of what's happening in between the documents. And then I got some help from some ladies who live in Guatemala City. What exactly would a woman in this situation, what would she be experiencing? And so that's where that story comes from. And the two of them are running parallel to each other. And I wrote that really to honor this woman, who I probably will never meet in this life. But she went through a tremendous experience and made probably the most difficult decision that any parent could make, to relinquish their child because they could not take care of them. Dolores just could not make enough money, and her and Gemma were starving. And the first photograph that we have of Gemma, she's 10 months old, and she only weighs about 15 pounds. Wow. She's very tiny, and her legs are real scrawny and everything. And after a few months of some proper nutrition, she really starts to fill up. But I just can't imagine what it would be like to not be able to feed your child and then have to make that decision of, here, I'm going to hand my child off to somebody else to take care of them. So that's why I put the story in there.
Gil Michelini is my guest. The book is Daddy, Come and Get Me, and we'll be returning with more with Gil in just a moment.